you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey guys, this is Shannon. You're listening to The Thing Is. Thanks for coming back to join us. I'm here as always with my lovely...
With a little less disdain, Shannon.
It's literally impossible. The fact that I'm smiling right now, I should get a medal. It is Maddie.
Hi. I sound better and look great.
Yeah, you know why that is? Because you decided after a year of recording on Zoom to take out your laptop and your microphone.
It's a laptop, but I'm not going to nitpick, Shannon. I was using my laptop.
You are in no place to nitpick when you've been recording the show on a cell phone with a mic that rubs against your beard for almost the entire year.
And it was my shirt. I got rid of that, though. I fixed that. I had fucking AirPods ready to go tonight.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I apologize to our guests and to the people that are listening. This is all craziness, and I'm very sorry. So let's introduce our guests. Okay, so comedian, one third of the Loud Boys podcast, and claim to fame making Dylan cry on the Real Ass podcast is Dalton Pruitt. Welcome.
Howdy. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And comedian, wrestler, and host of Evolving with Corey Castle, it is Corey Castle.
Hi, how's it going? This Zoom and stuff is so weird when like you're watching it with a bunch of other people who are all in it as well. So you'll see like their background noise will put the yellow square around them. And you're like, shut your baby up or your dog or your friend cooking. Just stop.
Do you have speaker view on?
Yeah.
Oh, put it
on gallery. No, I'm sorry. I have the full view, but I still see the yellow square around everybody.
Oh yeah. I hardly ever pay attention to it, but now that you pointed it out, that's all I'm going to be looking at the whole episode.
Well, there goes that.
Okay. So this is the first episode that in real life we're recording in 2021. So happy new year, everybody. And to all of the listeners.
Yeah. It's been great so far.
How did everyone spend their New Year's Eve? Start with you, Corey. How did you spend your New Year's Eve?
I went to my girlfriend's friend's house and we watched Animal House and we watched old school. We watched a bunch of old comedy movies and just drank some beers.
Fun. And you waited and you stayed up till midnight?
Stayed up, yes.
Yeah, okay. there's a little bit of a foreshadowing. Dalton, how'd you spend your New Year's Eve?
Oh, man, I broke all the rules. I went to a party in a basement with more people than I think were allowed to be there.
With no windows or air circulation?
No windows, no ventilation. Everybody was coughing because we were all smoking blunts. It was pretty stupid, but I had a good time. And my friend Claire, we were all drinking, and she drew a swastika on my palm, which I forgot about until my bodega guy saw it the next day. So I had a good time.
Put your hand out to get the change.
And he's that was kind of how he just was. He's raised an eyebrow, like, what? And I'm like, look, you don't know Claire.
Hope it wasn't while you were saying hello that he saw it.
Yeah, I was like, hey, howdy. Here to get a bacon, egg, and cheese.
That's fun, though, to actually celebrate like normal. I'm all for that. What did you do, Maddie?
Oh, I just went to my friend's house and showed his children how to strangle each other for an evening. We played some Family Feud. It was a kind of a dull suburban evening, to be honest. There were drinks involved, and Aaron got stoned beyond belief. It was all right. You know?
Fun. I think that's what you should do on New Year's Eve. You should have trouble, I think, remembering midnight.
Yeah, uneventful. That's what you want on New Year's.
Sure. I've, for the past like 7 or 8 years, have bartended on New Year's Eve. So it's like, whatever. As long as they make a lot of money, it's good.
That'd suck, though.
It depends. Because I've been working there for so long. So I'm with friends anyway, and we're drinking behind the bar. It's okay. And you're making
same
money.
Same shit, but you get paid. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's usually okay. But this year I was like, oh, well now I'm forced to like, you know, not forced, but like, I don't have to make the decision of work or spend it with my friends or family. Mm. And then I just also just didn't have a decision to make because there was no one to spend it with. Cause like my family is kind of still staying separate with the COVID stuff. So, and I had so much work to do to prepare for the Real Ass Podcast ASSY Awards. So I spent the entire day texting comedians, asking them to help do the presenter videos. And I fell asleep. I started to get so tired. I fell asleep at like 11:42. And then I woke back up at 12:30. So I slept just long enough to miss the midnight gongs. And then I was up for the rest of the night. So really fun. Yeah, really
brilliant. That was what the foreshadowing was for, huh?
Yeah. You didn't get a midnight kiss? The New Year's kiss?
I did not. Maybe you don't know this about me, Dalton. There is not a whole lot of action that happens in my life. There is a complete lack of it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm the same way.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Probably for different reasons.
for way different reasons, for sure.
Oh, I like that Renee in the chat laughs at the idea that I would even kiss somebody on New Year's. Thank you.
It always gets an LOL.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to say a few thank yous. First to Travel Buds, and they say Mike and Kim here. So Mike and Kim, after I found out, cause they just had my appendix taken out at the end of last year and, my hospital bills came in and it's $29,000 that I owe, which is not great. And, I made a game of it on Twitter and then like had people guess how much it was, gave a free piece of merch to the winner. And, Travel Buds, Mike and Kim created a GoFundMe for me, even though I begged them not to. And that was very sweet. So thank you for everybody that donated and you guys for starting that. Also, thank you to Mike and Kim for sending me drugs. I guess, is it okay to say this? We can bleep it out if you want me to. But, I always talk about it on the show about how I want to try mushrooms. Thank you. And so they sent me a scale, a digital scale, and mushrooms so that I can be sure how much I'm taking and take it. So now that it's here, I can start getting myself there because I've never done psychedelics before. So thank you guys for that.
Do you have any plans for doing them?
I have to just now start psyching myself out to do it. I'm like, well, they're here. I can measure them. Now I just have to like figure out who and when.
I think you just take the mushrooms and let them do the psyching out for you.
No, I have to be mentally prepared to do it.
Your background. It seems like the perfect situation to be doing it in with your cats that love you.
What were you going to say, Dalton?
Oh, are you planning on doing them by yourself?
No, that's what I was saying. Like I would like to do it with somebody that I like trust and that is experienced with doing them. I would love it to be Nate. Maybe Nate can just Zoom with me. Nate, former co-host of the show, is now in Australia. Maybe he could just Zoom with me and talk me through it. Cause I'm just scared my brain's going to go into a bad place. I have a lot of phobias and stuff. I'm scared that's right where my brain's going to go.
I can tell you, having done mushrooms and acid several times, staring at a screen is going to not be fun.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe you're different, but when I've done them and I'm looking at like a computer screen, I'm like, technology's bad. Shut it off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but maybe you're different.
I don't know. I have no idea what to expect. Like I've never done a psychedelic and I want to, I'm just scared.
Yeah. But I think the movies make it seem like it's more like if you watch something like Fear and Loathing, it'll make you feel like it's that, but it's not. It's much more mellow than what you see in the movies.
Right.
It's more like an episode of Rick and Morty when they go through the wormhole and everything mm-hmm. is kind of crazy. That's kind of better.
I'm okay with the visual things. I'm okay with that. It's just the feeling that I'm going to have. Cause like, I don't like the feeling of smoking weed. Like that feeling I don't like. I just, and Zach Amico once told me that mushrooms is like being very high on weed. And that's what terrified me from doing mushrooms. You agree with that? I see you nodding, Corey.
There's different levels of that. I mean, like there's been certain mushroom experiences that I've had that have just felt like I was really high. And there have been certain mushroom experiences that I've had that have felt very sacred and very divine, very, very meditative and very spiritual. So it really depends on the kind of mindset in that you're in going into it. So I guess, like you said, getting yourself like psyched up for it, maybe don't get yourself too psyched up for it, but like
I don't mean excited. Yourself. I meant mentally prepare.
Yeah, like emotionally sort of be excited for it. I mean, but yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned. And thank you guys for sending that. Okay. I see Mike and Kim said these shroomies are golden teacher. Is that the name of the shrooms? I don't know.
If that, seems like it.
Oh, it is. So I'm going to learn stuff. See, that'll put me in a good mindset for it. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. You have to eat an apple while you're
yeah, I can do that. Okay. Maybe we should all, I know, not you, Maddie, because I feel like you'll make me angry, but I feel like there's some people in the Zoom that I feel like maybe would be cool to have around if I do it on screen. I don't know. We'll talk about it in post show. So one more thing. So I talk about TV shows a lot because I don't have much of a life and my life is just watching TV shows. So the third season of Cobra Kai was released recently. Have you all seen it?
Yes, I just finished it.
I've seen the first few episodes of it, maybe four or five episodes into it, but I didn't finish it.
Okay. And of the season or of the whole series?
No, of this season. I watched it. Okay. It's so corny, but it's, you know, it's
supposed to be.
It is what it is. Yeah. I mean,
it's supposed to be corny.
It's supposed to be corny. Yeah.
It's based on an 80s karate movie. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's, I feel like that's part of the art of it is how they like mirrored that so perfectly.
There's karate gangs in our schools.
Yeah, I binged it all in like a few days, and it was weird because as I was watching it, I was like, this might be the dumbest show I've ever seen, but I'm also having a lot of fun.
But you're young. How old are you?
I'm 27.
Yeah, that's the difference, I think. Like, for people that grew up watching Karate Kid, like, there's that nostalgic aspect. And then you also, like, I remember, because I'm 100, I remember watching movies, you know, in the 80s. And it just captures that corniness and, like, ridiculousness so well. Like, that I think is a good thing. But I understand you not liking it because of that.
I enjoyed it. I just was like, I guess... I don't think I've ever actually seen The Karate Kid, but I've seen plenty of 80s movies.
Have to watch it.
What? I'll say. I'm a little bit lost in my head. You said you've never seen The Karate Kid. How old are you?
I'm 27. Look, I'm 27. But the thing is, The Karate Kid is such a cultural touchstone that I've absorbed it through osmosis.
It's also not Goodfellas or fucking any of those movies, so you're really not missing much. You know what I mean? It's very of the time.
Yeah, it's like a... It does seem like it exists in this, like, space of 80s excess, because it's a movie that seemingly nothing is really at stake. It's just like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's a karate tournament. Nobody's gonna die. It's
like, are you into MMA at all? Like,
not
watching
really,
it?
No.
All right, I was gonna say, if you watch a UFC fight... You just don't bother watching Karate Kid because you're like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Crane kick, I mean, everyone can defend.
Yeah, they're
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was like, they're also teenagers. And to a teenager, it is everything. Like, the girl that you like doesn't like you, that's everything. Huh. You know, winning a contest, you know, at a tournament is everything to you. So I get it. I'm really defending this movie.
Well, no, yeah, no, it's a good movie, I'm sure. Like, Pat Morita was nominated for an Oscar for it, so yeah. I'm sure. But
he was the only Japanese actor at the time, so.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. We talked about him on
RIP. That was the category of the Oscar.
The best the greatest Japanese actor.
best Oriental.
Greatest Oriental sidekick.
Well, I mean, what's goofy about Karate Kid to me is I understand teenagers acting like that. But there's so many moments in that show where it's like Daniel LaRusso's supposed to be like the adult of the show. And there's so many moments where I'm screaming like, dude, just like,
grow the fuck up.
Yeah, grow up, man. Call the police.
when they got in the karate fight in the apartment. That was like the moment I was like, "Wow, Jesus Christ, this is so corny." But
no joke, I don't know if that was supposed to be played for laughs, but I was laughing uncontrollably at that scene because I was like, "What? Two adults? You're like, if I was a parent and my kids got drunk and went to some other guy's house, I wouldn't go in there and fight the guy." Like, I couldn't stop laughing at that. That was so funny to me. So I do like the show.
Please. please just go and watch the movie. I just feel like it'll give you like a different perspective on where it's coming from.
Okay.
That's it.
I'll watch it.
Okay. So what I wanted to bring up, because this is going to bring me into my question for you guys, is, and this isn't really a spoiler unless you haven't gotten to this season yet, but at the very beginning, Miguel, one of the main characters, is in a coma from a fight that happened at the end of season two. And so people are going in and like talking to him, and his sensei, Johnny Lawrence, is trying to talk to him. So what that made me think about is, if, because I always think we're going to die and something bad is going to happen to me, if I was in a coma, what would I want to hear, or what would I want someone to play? Like, what do you think somebody could play or say to you that would snap you back?
Garbage reality TV shows for you. That's what I say.
No, I don't think that would snap me back. I think
I'm just going to hang out in here for a while. Yeah. I don't want to go back into that world yet.
Yeah, I think it would just like merge into my dreams and it would just be fine. Yeah, that wouldn't wake me up out of it. But Maddie, what would you want to hear or have played for you?
I don't know if I have anything I want to hear or play, but I've thought about being in a coma before. Oddly enough, I know it's surprising to everyone, but I thought about like getting my feet rubbed to get me out of it, or my hands rubbed. Is that the same thing?
Someone said The Rock's voice.
There you go. That's one for Shannon.
Yeah, that is one, Renee. That would.
All right, I'm gonna take Stone Cold. I'll pick him.
But no, so if
I hear the glass shatter, I'll fucking come right out. I'll snap right out of it.
If somebody rubbed your hands and feet, is that because like that's your favorite feeling?
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter who. So it could just be the nurse.
I mean, is she hot?
You won't know. Your eyes are closed.
That would help, right? Especially if she's a little bit fucking portly. You know, she got a nice fucking soft fat girl hands.
Okay, so wouldn't it be like your fiance's voice or your mom's voice?
It would be her doing the rubbing.
Okay. Dalton, what do you think would get you out of it?
I think what I would want to hear is one of my favorite songs, but what would get me out of it would be my mom screaming that I'm going to be late for school.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever tried that.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
It seems like a good idea, right?
Yeah, that's perfect. Or like an alarm clock. Like one of those annoying ones, like that really annoying alarm sound on the phone.
Like all of them? Anything that is your alarm to get up in the morning that becomes your most hated sound on earth.
Yeah, either the iPhone alarm or my mom telling me that it's time to get up.
It's her screaming from the kitchen over there.
Yeah.
What about you, Corey?
Probably equal parts anxiety that you were talking about. Like, you got to get up. There's something you got to do. Like, hey, your music's playing, your match is now, they're announcing you, get out there. Like that kind of stuff would probably like get me up or something. It would motivate me to probably want to get up.
And so anyone could say it to you?
Probably, yeah, probably. Because everybody's just a amorphous blob at shows. Mm-hmm. I don't know who anybody ever is.
Well, I think for me, I think that The Rock's voice, like Renee said, would help. But I also think that's a possible thing that could work its way into my dream, because The Rock has been in my dreams a million times. That's something I don't know that it would snap me out of it unless I knew that he was there. I'd be like, wake up, Shannon. But I think like one of my favorite songs also, like Amos Lee, tends to like snap me too. Shut up, Maddie. And also I think hearing, like, if it were like now that it would happen, and like my nieces and my nephew are little, like hearing one of them in the room being like, Aunt Shannon, wake up, like hearing their little voice saying that, I feel like that would drive me deeper in. I think that would do it.
I heard a dog bark. There you go. That's a sound, Shannon. I heard a dog barking for sure. Like, oh shit, is a dog in here? Yeah.
Oh yeah. A little bulldog.
Yep. It's fucking they breathe, you know.
Oh, it's the worst.
Shannon, you recently went under, right? What was that like?
Actually, this time was a pleasure. I mean, I've said it on the show before, but I've been operated on once before, and it was like 18 years ago, and I woke up during the surgery, which was why I was so terrified to go through that process again. And I told anybody that would listen at the hospital, I was like, hey, just letting you know, I woke up once before. Like, please, please, please don't let that happen again. And also don't kill me though. Like, don't give me too much where I die. And so when I went into the room, the operating room, I was like so nervous that my whole body was like trembling. So they were like, okay, we're going to give you something to calm you down first. And when that hit, I could not care. I did not care about anything in the whole world.
Did they hook you up to like an audible like pulse thing where you could hear your heartbeat?
No, there was no annoying beeps.
Because when I went under to have my asshole worked on, they had me hooked up to the machine and my heart was racing and they're fucking getting ready to put me out. I'm like, I'm going to die. This is it. It's over.
Yeah.
Did you get any enjoyment out of getting put out this time?
I mean, well, it was seconds that this part happened. Mm-hmm. It was seconds, but I just know, I remember looking up at, I don't even know what there was, but they were like, at this moment, there's like so many people in the room and they're like sticking these things on me, like, you know, the monitors and stuff and putting stuff on me. And I just, everything was okay in the world. And it's like, if when we die, this is a feeling that rushes over you, that makes me way less scared to die because
you're going to love mushrooms.
Really?
Probably. If you do it right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes me happy. And then it was like 5 to 10 seconds later, they were like, okay, we're going to give you something to calm you down. And then I fought for a second. And they're like, okay, and now you're going to go to sleep. There was no countdown. They were like, it's just, okay, good night.
Yeah. They didn't make me count either. I did it like twice back to back, like within a week of each other. And I was really terrified the first time around.
Excuse me. Both for your butt?
Correct. Actually. Yeah. I had a colonoscopy about 9 days after the fucking... the other butt stuff. I do a lot of butt stuff. Yeah. But the second time...
And Shannon, when you came to, were they playing the iPhone alarm?
No, I don't know. I don't know exactly when I came to, but like my first memory of it was I just felt pain and I was in the recovery room and the nurse that like I had been talking to before, I was like, it hurts. And she's like, okay, I'm going to give you something. I was like, well, what are you giving me? And she's like, fentanyl. And then I was like, isn't that the stuff Michael Jackson died from? And she's like, no, that was propofol. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And then
that's the stuff that like, teenage Americans are dying from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of went back out after that. So I don't have the joy of like remembering what fentanyl felt like because I was in too much pain at the moment.
Hmm. Okay.
Drugs
cool.
Are awesome.
I have a surgery coming up in April and I asked my doctor, like, what do you prescribe after this kind of surgery? And he said, well, this is one of those surgeries where it's whatever you want.
Oh, said, there you go.
Yeah.
That's one perk. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave me like the littlest. They gave me 5 milligrams of oxycodone every 6 hours, which you may as well given me Advil. Like it did literally nothing.
Damn.
Worked for my asshole.
5 milligram every 6 hours?
Yeah, it was fine.
No, it wasn't enough.
When I woke up from my brain surgery, I had morphine.
There you go. Mm.
But Shannon, aren't you also a fellow Kratom aficionado?
I do use Kratom, yes. You're Kratom, okay. Actually.
Because I think that might mess with... Because I got prescribed codeine once, and I was also in the throes of an ounce-a-day Kratom habit.
Jesus.
And so that shit, the codeine didn't do shit for me because I was so.
How much do you take, Shannon?
Oh, I take like a 1-leveled teaspoon in the morning and I kind of drink it throughout the day.
How many?
I don't know what the measurement
is. How many of those are in a kilo? Lots, yeah, I guess.
I can use my new drug scale to figure it out.
There you go.
Let you know the next But during like the days before my surgery, I didn't take any Kratom because I didn't want the powder in there clogging up my appendix more. And like while I was in the hospital and the week after, I didn't take any.
I love how you think the body works.
Yeah, nobody knows how the appendix works. Maybe it was powder blocking it up.
You know what? That's fair. You know what? You might have figured something out, Shannon. Yeah. It could be Kratom.
It could be. But not your Kratom because they have the finest quality and the best value Kratom.
Yeah. Your Kratom. It won't murder your appendix. Your show.
They are our sponsor and we love them very much.
Yeah. When I was using pretty heavily, or sorry, when I was medicating for my chronic pain, I used Yo Kratom because that was the best deal you could find.
They're the best. Okay, so we'll be going for 20 minutes. All right, I'm going to bring up just one last thing really quickly. And it's a dream that I had, because we all know this is everyone's favorite segment. I had a weird dream, and then I found out an interesting fact about dreams that I wanted to share. So my dream was about comedian and podcaster Christina Hutchinson. She's been on the show before. And in the dream, she was my girlfriend.
Mm.
Like, we were together, and we lived together. There was no sex in the dream, so I'm sorry, boys.
Can you add some at the end?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, and that, I mean, that just goes to show in my life, even when I'm in a relationship, there's still no sex, but, yeah. And it was just a weird thing that, like, we lived together in this like really awesome, like loft apartment in the city. And we were just going about daily activities as girlfriends. And that's all that I remember. Very weird. But that leads me to the fact that I found out about dreams. I say facts loosely because they don't really know anything about dreams either, but they say that you only remember a dream when you wake up during the REM cycle. And yeah, so if that's true, then I feel like that's why, you know how you're always like, how do you remember your dreams? Like, I feel like that's maybe why I always remember them, because I don't ever make it through the REM cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
But it's just an interesting thing, because there are so many people that probably sleep well that never remember their dreams.
I always dream. People say like they smoke pot, they don't dream, then they stop smoking pot and they start dreaming again. I never stop dreaming.
I think it's just that you dream t-shirt. More. I think you I think you dream more when you stop.
Give up.
I've never known the difference. Oh. Yeah, Cheyenne's saying she has the same thing. I don't know.
Because I know Luis J. Gomez has become recently sober, and he's been having crazy dreams.
That's what makes me remember that that's even a thing. Every time he like quit smoking pot, he's like, oh, the dreams are starting again, doggy, or whatever the fuck he says now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, people stop having dreams during pot, apparently. I don't know.
He probably smokes a lot more than you do, though.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. I didn't even think of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a big variable, Shannon. Good fucking call.
You're going to ask something?
Oh, I was going to ask if these guys smoke pot and or stop dreaming when they do. Yeah, something like that.
I smoke every day, and I've never stopped dreaming.
A lot?
I probably not as much as Lewis was smoking, but I hit the vape pen throughout the day, and every now and then I'll hit a bowl, but it's mostly just a maintenance thing with the vape pen.
Sounds like a decent amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey?
Same. I just hit the vape pen here and there. I mean, sometimes like I'll hit the bowl with like my roommate or my brother, but like for the most part, just the vape pen.
And you don't stop dreaming?
And I don't really remember dreams, but I know I'm having them.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. I get what you're saying.
I had a dream the other night that really bothered me. Do y'all want to hear about it?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because when I grew up, my family dog is still alive. He's very old, though. He's like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cute little shih tzu named Gizmo. And he lives with my parents down in Georgia. And I had a dream that... he was human size, but still a dog, kind of like a BoJack Horseman character, and he was wearing a suit.
Okay.
And he was telling me, my mom and my dad, that he had to leave soon.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Excuse me. Can I just? Was it a Giznis suit?
Yeah, like it was a Giznis suit.
Where's my fucking bell?
Oh God!
Damn it! I didn't take my toys out.
That gets nothing.
I woke up in like cold sweats because he has been having heart problems lately and like passing out and having seizures. And so that dream like kind of fucked me up. I was like, oh no.
How long ago did you have that dream?
Like a week or two ago.
I mean, it could be just like your fear that that's going to happen, you know, because he is so sick.
Yeah. I mean, he is old. Like it's dogs. You know, 13 is getting up there, so.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing that. My cats are 11, and they are like spring chickens.
Cats live very long.
They do.
Cats
average 18 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So do you think that that's like an omen?
I don't know. If I ever tell my mom about that dream, she'll cry because she does believe in that kind of thing. I think it was just because she had called me recently to tell me about how he had had a seizure recently and it manifested in that dream.
Well, here's a question. We like to talk about thing incidences on the show a lot. So what's the window where that story, that dream and the dog dies, it's a premonition? I feel like if it's not the next day, it's like,
I'd say maybe a week. Or two.
Yeah, week tops though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a week.
And you're 2 weeks
already,
out?
It's already been about.
Does part of you think they just haven't had the heart to tell you yet?
No. If he dies, my mom is calling.
Yeah.
That sucks. Happy 18th birthday, Gizmo. Now I'm dead. And then you're like, oh, I had that dream 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a premonition.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they called me years from now, and I'm like, I knew it was coming.
I'd say a week. I would say even if it's like two, I would give it 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, okay. But you're out of that window already, so it's not a premonition. The dog's gonna live forever.
Yeah, well, and I just called my mom last night, and I heard him barking in the background, so he's fine.
It was like a fucking tape recorder, you know?
Yeah.
like that scene from Last Action Hero where he plays the recording for his ex-wife when she's complaining.
I don't remember it.
I haven't seen The Karate Kid, and I haven't seen Last Action Hero.
That one is a good movie. That's way better than Karate Kid.
All right.
It's one of my favorite childhood movies.
I think you should get out a pen and a paper because I feel like there's more movies coming your way.
I'm familiar with all of these movies. Trust me, I'm well versed on prior decades. It's just, you know, I got to catch up.
Okay. All right. Well, now that we got all that out of the way, we can get into the segments. So normally, the first time new guests are on the show, we like to ask them to tell us about their worst date experience or weirdest sexual experience, meaning something went wrong. So we'll start with you, Corey. Weird sex or bad date?
Bad date. So I went out with this girl. Like, the funny thing was, like, we met on like Bumble or something, and then she listened to my podcast where I did an episode with my mom. So it was like this real personal stuff with my mom, and she was like, oh my God. And then she was kind of like marking out a little bit. And she's like, oh my God. Like, oh, it's so cool to like hear your voice in person. And like, blah, 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 like, and was kind of like fanning out a little bit in a weird way. And then like, the more we were hanging out, she was telling me about how she was like a prison guard and how like, she was like, oh yeah. In basic training, they had to like pepper spray you. And she's like, when they pepper sprayed me, I was pregnant. And she's like, but I took it like a champ. Then I saw like the other guys who got pepper sprayed, and I just laughed at them and called them pussies. And I was like, well, you're kind of a bully.
All checks out. I like it.
I was like, you're kind of a bully. I don't know if you should say that to people. Like, I don't know if you should be calling guys pussies. Like, that's you. I mean, you seem really cool. Prick. What's that?
You're kind of being a prick. You know?
Yeah. It's like, why you got to be an asshole? I mean, like. And then like later on we're talking and she was like saying some stuff that was a little racist.
So wait, hold on. So your problem with that story was her being mean to the boys, but not that she was getting pepper sprayed while pregnant.
Yeah, no, because that just seemed like a brag. It seemed just like a brag to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole thing is a brag.
Like, was she like one of those like tough chicks, you know?
You know, she was. Oh, it was weird. She was tough. She was not big, but she was solid. She was solid, and she like worked out. Like I knew she was like a pretty buff lady. And we made these plans where I was gonna go. She was gonna have her mom watch her son, and I was going to go there, and I was going to stay the night. But first we were going to go to this bar and meet her friends. And we go to the bar and like a whole bunch of black people came in. And then the girl whispered at me and she went, it's getting dark in here.
I was like, ah, it really is. It's an oldie but a goodie.
And I was like, you can't say that. That's something like my grandfather would have said. And she was like, no, I'm saying it like it's a good thing. I'm like, then you wouldn't have whispered it.
Yeah.
And so
she wasn't saying it as a joke.
No, she was not joking. I left, actually. I didn't want to stay with her anymore.
So you walked out on that date?
Yeah, I took off.
What'd you tell her? You can go, Dalton.
Sorry, wait. I might have missed something. Was she pregnant? Did you say she was pregnant?
She had the kid.
No, she had the kid.
Oh. Okay.
I was not dating a racist pepper sprayed pregnant lady.
Okay, because I was about to say
racist pepper spraying not pregnant lady.
Yeah, because I was gonna say if you were on a date with a pregnant woman who got pepper sprayed and fought it off like a champ, you should have stayed with her.
she was probably in that historic Capitol Hill raid.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, so how long did you date her for?
Oh, there's just two dates. I just went on two dates with her, and it was done. And that's the extent of it, I think. I got a bit out of it. I was doing a bit about, because I did it like going from talking about that, where I was talking about how like I picked up some dude on the side who was walking on the side of the road, and he had a gas can, and I saw him walking. I didn't know where his car was, but if I was walking with a gas can and someone stopped and picked me up, I'd be so grateful. So I stopped over and I picked the dude up, and he was like, bro, you got such good karma coming to you. This is so great. So like such good energy, such good karma. And then he was like, there's my car right there. And I dropped him off at his car, and he's like, all right, bro, this is what us white boys do for each other. And I was like,
you racist like, around.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't be a Nazi and talk about karma, you dickhead.
Wait, so Nazis. How does that tie in?
Well, he spells karma with three Ks.
Right.
How does that tie into the other story?
Because she was racist and was whispering racist stuff at me at the bar while this other man was racist and whispering racist stuff in the car.
It sounds like he yelled it.
Maybe.
Yeah, he wasn't whispering.
Well, I do want to say that Nazis do believe in karma, but it's spelled with three Ks.
What happened?
I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. This is, come on, guys. Is this microphone on?
Were you gonna say something, Maddie?
No, I'm either having a stroke. I'll talk about it later. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
All right.
Is it my lights? Are my lights giving you seizures?
No, but the cat looks interested.
Oh, he is. All right. By the way, I feel like accent shows based when I say your name, and you probably want to throw up every time I say it, so I apologize.
What, when you,
I feel when it.
How do you say Dalton?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
No, I love it. You can hear my accent. I'm a big fan of accents. Okay.
All right.
You're from Staten Island?
I'm from Brooklyn. I live in Staten Island.
Okay. So this is a Brooklyn accent.
That's right. Yeah. It's different. Right.
No, it's a good accent. I like it.
Thank you.
It sounds like you said you were a big fan of accidents, and that was upsetting.
Also a big fan of accidents.
Happy accidents?
Yes.
We are here on The Thing Is. All right, Dalton, what's your bad date or worst sex experience?
Oh boy. Well, get ready for this one.
I'm ready.
So this is this might be what you call a girlfriend experience.
Okay.
I
wait, meaning a hooker?
You rented
it over. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So I grew up I grew up down south. I grew up very religious and also a fat kid. So I was very insecure and also thought sex was wrong. And so that led to me being.
Unless you pay for it. Then it's okay.
Well, that led to me being a virgin up until June of 2020. And so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the pandemic had hit and I was like losing my mind. And I was like, I didn't know how I was going to be able to meet anyone during all of this. And so I was like, well, I guess I should just, like, I don't know, just pay for sex, I guess. And so I know. Look,
no, it's just like, what else are you gonna do, right?
Yeah,
that's the logical conclusion. I would have drawn the same one.
I am drawing that conclusion in my personal life. Yeah. So
I'm in a relationship. Judgment. I still draw that fucking
no
conclusion.
Judgment.
Something happens when you're a virgin well into your late 20s where you go, I just don't care anymore. No. I'm done caring. So I went to eros.com and I found a profile I liked. Her name was, on the profile, it said her name was Mia, cute, 22-year-old European, just got here, you know, trying to make her way in New York. And so I called her and immediately went to, like, this robot answering machine. So I left a message like, hey, it's me, Dalton. And then I hung up and I didn't think nothing of it. And then, like, a few minutes later, I got a text that was like, hey, babe, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, hey, it's you. And we chatted for a little bit and she told me a little bit about herself. And then I was like, is there anything you need from me? Because she was like, yeah, 700 out call, which means I got to go there to her place. Ah. And 700 meaning $700,
yes,
by the way.
Got it.
Yeah.
Roses? Gathered that much?
Yeah. I didn't want you to think it was like 700 roses or whatever horse shit they say.
That's what you mean.
Websites. This was $700.
And you're paying for, like, just sexual intercourse? Is it, like, just that? What are you, like, paying for?
I think the guise of it is that I'm paying for a
to
date.
Hang out with her. Okay.
But, like, for real, what it is, I'm paying for sex. It's just the workaround.
Is it a certain amount of time that you're paying for?
I guess it's supposed to be an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know.
She must have been hot. It's a good price for a hunt for an hour.
Yeah. You can do it, like, a lot in an hour.
Well, let me finish the story.
That's the first time, right? Oh, boy.
And so she tells me, you know, here's the price. Here's my information, all that. And I go, is there anything you need from me? And she's like, yeah, just tell me your name and send me a picture. So somewhere out there is a very desperate picture of me that I sent, like, to a hooker. Just the saddest selfie on the planet. And so I sent her the selfie and she gave me her address. And so I went to the apartment and she buzzed me in. And as I was walking down the hall to her actual apartment, I could hear her on the other side of the door. Like, I could hear her getting ready. Like, I heard chains rattling and everything getting ready, you know, for me to knock. And I knocked one time and the door immediately opened. And she answered. And the woman that who just messaged that? The door chain, the lock on the door.
Got it.
She's not a ghost.
The ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, no. It was just the chain on the door, the lock. And I knocked on the door and she answered. And the first thing I noticed is that the woman that answered the door was not the woman that was in the picture on the website.
Oh. She was hotter, I bet.
No, I wish. Oh. The woman on the website was a 10. This was about a 7.
I mean, for $700. For $700 for an hour.
A point, yeah.
And so she answers and invites me in. And I'm like, I'm terrified. I'm terrified. Every fight or flight response is happening. And I'm thinking, I should leave. But then I was like, well, I'm already here. Let's talk to her at least. And so I asked her, I was like, are you Mia? And she said, what? And I go, what is your name? And she goes, Nadia. And I was like, oh, Nadia, nice to meet you. And she goes, do you want to take a shower? And I said, yeah, I guess I can take a shower. And she said, okay, I need money first. And so fortunately, I had the presence of mind. I went to the ATM beforehand, so I handed her $700, and she said, okay, go take a shower. And so I went in the bathroom and took a shower, You know, the worst shower I've ever taken. The whole time I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Was it like a, was the shower itself clean?
Yeah.
How weird would it be if you paid $700 to take a gross shower?
Yeah. It was like, no, if you want to know what I think, I think part of that $700 went towards whatever Airbnb this was. I don't think she actually lived here. And so I took a shower, and then I didn't know what protocol was. So I get out of the shower and I put my clothes back on, and I come out, and she goes, why did you put your clothes back on? And I was like, oh, my bad. And so I stripped down to my boxers, and she's like, now take those off too. And I'm like, no, wait, what? Are you serious? Yeah, I know. And she goes, how do you expect to have sex with boxers on?
Oh, man, she's fair a real point. Shit talker, this lady.
It's a fair point, yeah. Though.
There's a good little hole that I can open up here.
Yeah, I can just unbutton them.
That would have shown her. Unbutton it.
And so I take my boxers off, and I have my, you know, very soft penis. And oh, no. I lay on the bed and do my best to become erect, and she puts a condom on me and starts going, you know, going down on me with a condom, which boo. Then we start having sex, and we, you know, and I will say, once we started having sex, I did think to myself, well, I think I made a mistake here, but I'm in. And we went at it for a little while, and then she like looks at me and she goes, did you finish? And I was like, I don't think I did. And she like hops off and inspects the condom to see if there's cum in it, and I'm like, I guarantee you I didn't finish. And she goes, okay. And she really gets hot. Back on. Yeah, I know, right? And we start having sex again. And this time she's it's the reverse cowgirl. She's facing away, and then she looks back at me again. And she goes, "You finish yet?"
Oh my god!
And wow. I was like, "No, I haven't." And also, I haven't mentioned that her apartment is completely bare. There's, you know, whatever this place is, there's nothing on the walls, no TV, nothing, no music playing. It's just a bed and whatever dresser was in there. So,
and a
it's
woman
like a very,
just rushing you to come.
Yeah. And this Russian immigrant, like, begging me to please finish. And so she's like, you finish yet? And I go, no. And she goes, you know, some people that come in here and they fuck, and they just never finish.
Jesus Christ. She needs to work on her craft, I think.
Yeah, I know, right? This terrible hooker. Yeah. And so then she
get her book, Pillow Talk for Dummies.
Yeah. And so she hops off and she goes, what can I do to help you finish?
Stop talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut the fuck up, bitch. And so I was like, I don't know. You could try like jerking me off really fast. That's usually how I do it. And so then she's with a condom starts like jerking me off. And she does that for a few minutes, and she's like, oh, my hand is tired.
God, she's maybe, the worst.
Yeah. And wow. Then she goes, maybe you'll try. And so then what she the lays fuck? Next to me. And so then this Russian woman is laying next to me and just watching me jerk myself off.
Wow. She pulled the fucking the double dutch on you, whatever the fuck.
Paid $700 Dutch, just to jerk rather. Off anyway.
Was it
I paid $700 to jerk off in front of a Russian immigrant.
Was the ad was it actually listed as Girlfriend Experience?
No. Right. If you go to Eros, it's like, I don't know, the wording they use is like escort or whatever.
Right.
So it's not, they don't actually say what it is, but yeah, the implication is that you're paying for sex.
I was gonna say, if it was listed as Girlfriend Experience, at least it wasn't, you know, false advertising.
Right.
That sounds like yeah, my sex life. It's like, can't you just finish this?
Yeah. And so, yeah. And so she's just laying next to me watching me jerk off with a condom. And I guess I guess she also starts to feel uncomfortable because she's just like, well, I'm just laying here. And so she still wants to be involved. So she sort of just starts like poking and prodding at my balls while I'm doing this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, do that. Yes, that helps. And then I'm like, I don't know if this is working. Do you want to try getting back on top? And so she gets back on top of me, but goes in for a 69. And I go, no. Don't do that. I'm not going to eat a hooker's pussy.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Pro level.
And we have sex a little bit more, and then she gets frustrated again and hops back off, and she's laying next to me, and we're just laying there, and she has like this blank look in her face, like she doesn't know what's going on. And I try telling her, like, I think the reason that this isn't working, I was like, I think maybe it's the medication I'm on. I'm trying to come up with excuses. And so she goes, what medicine you take? And I was like, I take a, you know, Lexapro. It's an antidepressant, SSRI. I take it for depression. And she goes, what are you depressed about? You have stress in life, family member died, trauma. And I said, no, it's just like, you know, maybe genetic. Who knows what causes it? And she goes, you know, here in America, you're all obsessed with this depression.
God, she also called you a faggot.
No, right?
Yeah. She said, you are a sissy boy, you big faggot, cannot come.
You should have told her that, you know, you're depressed because it's hard to find a woman to have sex with here. So you have to settle for Russian hookers with subpar customer service skills.
Yeah.
Should have turned it on her.
Oh shit. I did forget to mention though that like when I come out of the bathroom and I got down to my boxers, she was like, she did say, she was like, why boxers on? And I go, I don't know, I'm just nervous. And she goes, you virgin? And I lied to her. I go, no, I've just never paid for sex before. And she goes, oh, nothing to worry about. I take care of you. And she lied. She didn't take care of you. And so, but then, so then we were laying next to each other and I was like telling her about my antidepressants and she said, you know, here in America, you are so obsessed with this depression. You're so sad. I come from Russia. Life is very hard where I'm from. We have reason to be sad. You have best life in America. You have no reason to be sad. Maybe you come back later, no medicine, and then you finish. And so I said, do you want to try having sex again? And she goes, we could try, but I don't think you finish. And I said, well, I think I'm going to leave then. Uh-huh. And she said, well, do you want to take another shower before you leave? And so I was like, yeah, I'll take a shower and I'll get out of here. And so I took a shower and came back out. And then we had this like weird parting of ways where I was like holding her hands. And I said, hey, I just want to say, thank you. And then I left. Yeah, thank you for nothing.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it was an awful experience. And I will say, like, everybody says you should support sex workers and all that, but the vibe I got from Nadia and this apartment was that I don't know if she's allowed to leave that building. I think there's a man in charge who might get very upset if she sees the outside world.
That could be.
Yeah.
I feel really bad. This makes me sad because it's like you just thinking about like your frame of mind, like you're a virgin, you decided to finally take this into your hands and do something and you're nervous and you're vulnerable. And this chick just like, whatever, are you done yet? Like she didn't, it's like, this is what you're paid for. Is to like, you know, do this job, make someone comfortable, you know, be there for them for this little bit of time. And she couldn't do that. It just makes me feel really bad. I'm very sorry this happened to you.
No, it's a fun story. And the truth is, so the reason I even went through with it was just like, I was just trying to get rid of all of the, like, the church and I grew up with. I just wanted to like get rid of that kind of feeling like sex is bad kind of energy so I could actually start dating, you know?
Do you feel and worse then, like, about sex now?
I'm gonna say, I will say,
like, it kind of helped because a week later, I I met a lovely Irish woman from Dublin, cute, very great accent. And the night I met her, we went to her apartment, went on her roof, and had sex on her roof.
It's wonderful.
And, yeah, and then we had sex many times after that until she had to go back to Ireland. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am getting pussy now.
Do you think, though, that that experience did help you open up to the experience of finally of having sex with somebody?
Yeah, yeah, I do think so. I think in my head, like, I'd built it up in my head as, like, this monolith, like, because I was raised to believe that, like, it's this very sacred thing or whatever. And then when I actually did it, I was like, I could just play video games, you know, just whatever. And it did kind of help me loosen up. Like, when I talk to girls now, I'm not even really nervous anymore. I used to be so nervous, and now mm-hmm. it's like, I can take it or leave it.
Awesome. Well, there's a happy ending then.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Ironically, not a happy ending with the hooker.
All right, guys, before we go any further, I want to remind you and tell you a little bit again about YoKratom.com. First of all, if you've never heard of Kratom before, or if you're under the age of 21, this is not your business. Skip forward like 30 seconds or so. But if you are of age and you are a Kratom participant, user, I don't know what they call it, but if you've heard of Kratom before, if you use it, this is for you. You have heard us, especially on this episode, talk about Kratom extensively. And in these times, who knows what store is open? Who knows where you're going to get it? Whatever website you use, you don't know if the strain that you like is going to be there, what kind of crazy prices they're going to charge you. At YoKratom.com, they have any strain that you could possibly want. And they have their own proprietary strain called Trainwreck, which is a combination of 11 different strains all mushed up into one. That's my personal favorite. They come in powders, capsules, tinctures. And I've talked to some of the guys at YoKratom because they're the freaking best. And they have some awesome new products coming up. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what they are, not yet. But keep your eye out on YoKratom.com because they have some really fun stuff coming. So once again, it's YoKratom.com. And they are, of course, the home of the $60 kilo. And as you, somebody who is familiar with Kratom, knows, that is literally unheard of anywhere. It's amazing quality and amazing value, and you're not going to find that anywhere else. Once again, go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo, and keep an eye on the website because they have fun stuff coming in the new year. Let's get back to the show. All right, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is bad things.
Bad things with you.
And this is the part of the show where we talk about fight stories, physical altercations that you've been in, if you've been in multiple, the most memorable one. We'll start with you again, Corey. Tell us your most memorable fight story. Not in the ring.
Oh, man. I didn't prepare for one, so
nope.
Let me think about
it. Dare.
Let Dalton go.
Are you being serious? I literally said before we started.
Well, you just
Corey didn't do his homework. He's in trouble.
Hold on. I just want everyone to hear this. Dalton, you were here. Remember before we started, I was like, hey guys, just want to make sure you have your stories prepared, right? And they both say yes. And I was like, oh, okay. Because sometimes guests come on the show. And when I ask them the question, they pretend like it's their first time ever hearing it. And they both said, yep, we got our stories. And I thought you were joking just now when you said this. So now is the time where you can pretend like you were joking and just tell us the story.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Once upon a time, yeah, in a land far, far away.
Oh my God.
I met a ghost.
Hey, I will say, while you guys are trying to work out the kinks, is it okay if I go to the restroom?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Sure. Right. Leave while Corey has no story.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Corey, think of a story. I'll be right back.
Now it's really on you, Corey.
Okay. So when I was in eighth grade, I have to also say I was a sped kid.
I don't know what that means.
A special ed.
Oh, sorry.
So I wasn't in the regular classes with all the other kids, except for when it was like gym class.
Okay.
So me and another sped kid who, you know, wasn't with all the regular kids were like, we had tennis with the other kids. And the kid was calling the other sped kid an R word. He was calling him a retard. Okay. Yeah, and then I said, "What did you say?" And he said to me, "You heard me, stupid." So this was tennis, and I said, "I'm just giving you a chance to take back what you just said." And he was like, "Yeah, no, you had heard me, you had heard me." So I just went over and I was grabbing him and I was holding him up by his neck, and he had a tennis racket in his hand, and he did nothing. He did nothing at all.
He felt that retard strength.
Yeah, it was all my retard strength. after eighth grade, nobody called me stupid or retard anymore. I mean, that before all that, I was bullied a ton, but it went away.
So it all came out then in this, like, from all that, it all came out in this moment.
Yeah.
So you held him up like by his shoulders or his neck, and then.
No, I had him by his neck.
That's awesome.
And then he just like tapped out. He's like, "I'm sorry."
No, he was crying, and then the teacher came over yelling at me, and then the principal. We went to the principal's office, and the principal was like, "Dude, you can stop crying now. You can stop crying now. Why did this happen?" And then, like, I think at the time I was on probation already, so. He was like, "I'm not going to call your PO. I'm not going to do anything. Just go home." And I was suspended for like 2 days. But that was it. This is the end of the bullying.
That's good. All right, Dalton, you're back just in time. It's your turn.
Okay. I think I've only ever actually been in one fight. I was 18. And I just got into college, and I was a very frustrated, angry, fat, sexless boy.
And Does every story start like this?
Pretty much, yeah.
Every story
up until June of 2020 starts like this. I was an angry virgin. But no, I was trying to pledge this fraternity at my college. I went to the University of North Texas in Denton, Texas. And I was trying to pledge Sigma Phi Epsilon with my friend Dexter was his name. And we were there one night, and I had met this girl there named Ashley, who I hit it off with kind of. And he also was talking to her. And then I don't remember exactly. Something happened where he ended up being the one to hook up with her. And then one night we were both back in our hometown at a high school friend's party, and we were drinking, all of us. And I had drank like 4 40s of Mickey's. Oh. If anyone's familiar with Mickey's, it's a fine malt liquor. And, you know, I drank 4 40s of this.
How do you ever just leave the bathroom with that much beer in your body?
Oh, I was pissing all night. I mean, I was pissing up a storm that night. But I was 3 sheets to the wind. I was fucked up. And not the first or last time I was too drunk. And I was just like, I'd gotten into my own head and was feeling like really angry about this dude fucking this girl that I didn't know. And so I went up to Dexter and I said, "Dexter, we are going to fight each other tonight." And he said, "I don't know if we should do that." And I go, "No, fuck you, you toothless bitch." He had lost a tooth a couple of years ago in a fight. And so I was trying to like say anything that might get under his skin to get him to want to fight me. Mm-hmm. But he had only had like a beer or two. And he goes, I don't know if we should fight." And I'm like, "We're fighting. Get ready." And then everybody else there was also drunk. And so they started taking bets for this fight that was coming up between me and Dexter. And eventually Dexter finally got some more drinks in him. He goes, "All right, well, let's go fight."
Does he know and why? So
did he know why we were fighting?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was well aware that I was being a gay bitch. Just like mad that he fucked a girl I liked.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is an embarrassing story. It's me being a child is what this story is. And So everybody took bets. Everybody's in the backyard, circled up around us like Fight Club. And we square up against each other. And I try to get into a fighting stance, but I'm like, I'm so drunk that I try to put my fist in front of my face, but I hold them out up here, like over my head. And so I move in to fight him, and he just immediately punches me in the face. And I go, yeah, that's a good one. Good luck. Good luck doing that again. And then he punches me several more times. And I was like, you fought well, my friend.
I guess he had seen The Karate Kid.
He no can defend. I couldn't defend against any of these.
So you didn't get one shot in.
I didn't get a single shot in, and he wasn't really punching me that hard. He was mm-hmm. just like popping me because mm-hmm. he knew that. Because it's like everybody had seen me drink those 40s, and everybody was like, Dalton is fucked up. He should go to the hospital probably. And so I woke up the next day and my whole face just hurt, and everybody was making fun of me. They were like, hey buddy, do you want to fight? And they were all putting their hands above their heads, like making fun of me. So that's really the only like actual fight I've been in. Other than that, I, you know, I've had some serious drinking issues over the years, and I've had to be pulled away from bouncers for sure, but I've never actually been in another fight. There was one other time where I went to a bar with my parents in Keller, Texas, and started drinking and got too drunk and blacked out. And when I came to, I was staring down four bouncers. The one in front of me was a black dude about the size of a refrigerator. Uh-oh. And my dad was holding my arms behind my back, and he said, son, we have to leave. They've called the cops. So I don't know what happened that night. So those are the only altercations I've ever been in.
Well, that's great.
Those are great stories.
All right, guys, let's take one quick moment to talk about one of our newer sponsors. For fans of the show who are over 21, I got something you're going to love, and that's HempireDirect.com. Why are you going to love this? Well, they can legally sell you Delta 8 THC in 42 states. And why are you going to love Delta 8? Because it gets you high, really high. Hempire Direct offers Delta 8 in vape cartridges, gummies, distillate, soft gels, and tinctures. So you're going to get it any way you want it. It's all high quality, lab test verified, and they have incredible prices. If you've never heard of Delta 8 THC, remember when you never heard of CBD, but then we gave you some weed education? Well, here we go again. Like CBD, Delta 8 is naturally occurring in hemp and can be sold legally in 42 states. But unlike CBD, D8 gets you high. Of course, we have a great deal for you guys. If you go to HempireDirect.com, that's HempireDirect.com, or download the Hempire Direct app in the episode description, use promo code GASD, that's G-A-S and D as in digital, you're going to unlock a special buy one, get one 50% off deal. So once more, that's HempireDirect.com. Use the code GASD to unlock the exclusive buy one, get one 50% off deal. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, we are a little tight on time, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to our final segment, which is Scary Things. And this is the part of the show we talk about weird, creepy, unexplainable, possibly paranormal stories. I'll start with you, Corey. You better have a story ready.
So here's the thing. I'm going to continue to do these stories, and then they suck compared to how good Dalton's stories are.
No, they're just more first. Humiliating. That's all. I mean,
mine are just embarrassing.
So my Uncle Jimmy died when I was like, My Uncle Jimmy died when I was like seven or something like that. And my grandmother had moved into his house. So the room that was my Uncle Jimmy's room was now my Uncle Billy's room. And like he still had like Uncle Jimmy's gun in his room. Mm. And I remember like staring at the gun. And then I I was like sleeping over my grandma's house. I was in my Uncle Billy's bed. He wasn't, that sounds real weird. He wasn't there. He wasn't okay. there.
Story's getting scary, I'll tell you. Uncle Sticky.
So I was laying, laying there, and then I was staring at my Uncle Jimmy's gun. It was right there. And then in like my peripheral over here on the right, I saw what I looked like a form of some sort. And as I like looked, I could still see the form. And I went, Bill, because I thought it was my cousin, Bill. And then I like focused my eyes and there was nobody there. So
that counts. Maybe. Relax, Corey. These are fine. These are fine stories.
It's not a contest.
So that's it.
I mean, if it were, you'd be losing, but kidding.
So, okay. So you thought
that
it was
counts.
Yeah, no, it does count. Yeah, I'm just thinking.
See how quickly I fucking got on his side? I was like, hey, be nice to Corey.
I'm just thinking about it, that it's like, you know, when you did focus, it went away. Like, you didn't see it dissipate, you know, so right. It could have just been your eyes focusing in a weird
way. I also have very bad eyesight. So what you'll learn from me is that I was retard with rude. I was skinny fat with a dumb haircut, and everybody bullied me. So my eyesight was really bad. I was supposed to wear glasses, but I always broke them because I was very hyperactive.
Led you to see ghosts.
Right, which led me to see ghosts. You know what? I couldn't read a clock. I couldn't read a watch. Until I'm like, this is more embarrassing.
Hold on, finish that. Hang on a second now.
Until June of 2020 is when I learned.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, everybody has their shortcomings.
So you in your feel though that was the spirit of your uncle?
He's been like, so many people have said that he's there, mm-hmm. like that's his house. And like my grandmother had had a story where she thought my brother was standing in the doorway and it wasn't him. And she's like, Justin, get over here. And then no one was standing there. Mm-hmm. But also my grandma had cataracts. She also was
bad
a blind
eyesight
retard.
In your family. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, Dalton, it's your turn. Take us home.
Okay, cool. Oh, I forgot to mention, after I fucked that Russian hooker, she did text me the next day and she said, hey, what time? And then I blocked her. But anyway.
Did you ask for your $700 back? Or at least like some of it?
No, I just, cut your losses.
I don't want to prostitute my own horn, but I would have asked for my money back.
Why is she asked, like, didn't she say like get off the medication and then we'll try again? Like, you didn't, the medication's not out of your system in one day.
Right. Well, and also I can't get off the medication because if I do, because when I was on RAP this last Wednesday, mm-hmm. You may not have noticed, I was a little off. I was going through SSRI withdrawals because my dosage had gotten messed up.
Oh, no.
So I was in a lot of pain and I hadn't slept in days. So you can't just get off of it.
Yeah. I thought that you were making up the medication. I couldn't get off the medication because it was a lie.
No. I take 25 milligrams of Lexapro, and the last time I went to get my refill, they only had 20.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know that little bit of a, dose, dropping that little bit of a dose would fuck me up. But I was going nuts because of that. So you can't just get off of it. I don't have as hard of boners, but I feel good these days.
Yeah, I took Lexapro for a while, maybe a year or so. And I think it was like 15 or 10 milligrams. It was like such a little baby amount that I don't remember having to be tapered off. But
it's different for everybody. Cause when I called my doctor and told her I was having like brain zaps and my body hurt and I was having diarrhea, she said, normally 5 milligrams won't do that, but it sounds like you're really sensitive to the medication. And she was right, because once I got my dosage fixed, I feel okay now. But yeah, for a few, like that, when I came on RAP on Wednesday and up until probably yesterday, I was like, I was in so much pain from withdrawals.
I feel bad.
It's okay. I just, I feel bad because I came in and I feel like I wasn't living up to when I bullied Dylan, but heck, you live up to that.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, but you're still.
But were you real ass?
I was real ass for sure.
Well, then that's all that counts.
Yeah, we made up a new show from that episode, The Mick and the Hick.
The Mick and the Hick, which great. I hope is real. So ghost stories. Yeah. I've never had anything happen while I was in my life that I feel like was like a ghost or anything. Other than I've had sleep paralysis several times throughout my life. It's a regular occurrence for me. And I don't know if anyone here is familiar with sleep paralysis, but
yeah. Maddie gets it. It comes up on the show all the time.
Okay. So yeah. So you're like half awake, half asleep. And I've had it many, many times. And it feels like I'm in bed and I'm looking around at my room, but I'm not even sure I'm actually awake. But there's definitely a demon in the room with me.
Oh, I was going to ask you that, but do you see it or you feel it?
Both. So a lot of the time, as I'm like kind of figuring out what's going on, like I'm conscious, I guess I'm halfway between awake and asleep. It feels like my mom is in the room with me a lot of the time. Like I'll look in the corner of the room and I'm like, oh, my mom is here to wake me up for school or whatever. And then I realize, no, wait, I'm 27. I live in New York. My mom's not here. And then once I realize it's not like why my mom shouldn't be here, the whatever this figure is changes from my mom into this like a malevolent shadow.
That's real fucking scary.
And yeah, it sucks. And you know what's funny is one time I told my mom about this and her reaction was, oh, is that how you think of me? I'm like, what, wait, no. It's like, no. That's just, it's,
was your mother, maybe Olivia Soprano?
Maybe that's why it's dude. No joke, I've told her that. I've told her you should watch The Sopranos because I think you're Olivia Soprano.
Oh, just leave me here to die.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom has told me before that this is her rationale for me being like she wants me to be a safe, good kid because she's like, if you die, I don't have any other children to fall back on.
I was just going
to
ask, you're like, only child.
Do you know what that sounds like? but yeah, so I've had sleep paralysis where it's that, and I'm just staring at this shadow in the room and
so
trying
it
to.
It doesn't have like a form. It's just like a dark shadow. Like you can't tell features.
It's vaguely. So at first it's my mom, and then it turns into this shadow that's vaguely humanoid.
Okay.
And it just kind of stands there and scares the shit out of me. And then other times I've had it and whatever this thing is just sitting on top of me and it feels like there's weights on my chest, like I'm being suffocated. And
then it asks you if you're finished yet.
Yeah. it pulls off the condom and it's like, there's no cum in here. And every time as it's happening, I'm convinced that there's a demon in the room. Like whatever rational part of me that would say, no, spirits aren't real or whatever is gone. And I'm like, oh, hell has come to earth. There's a demon in the room with me and is trying to kill me.
How long have you been experiencing sleep paralysis, would you say?
I've had it off and on since I was probably a kid, probably since I think the first time I ever had it, I was like a boy, like 8 or 9 at my grandma's house, sleeping on her fold out couch. I vividly remember feeling it then. And then I started getting it more in high school. And then when I got to college, I think it's a stress thing, just like unfamiliar environments. Cause usually it's when I transition to some other environment that I really deal with it. Mm-hmm. Cause when I went to college, I was getting it a lot. And then when I moved to New York, I was getting it a lot.
Mm. Demon says, what are you so sad about?
Yeah. The demon is like, go off the medication and try later.
Like growing up in a religious family, like when you were a kid, did you ever tell your parents and like, do they have an explanation for you?
Oh, I didn't know how to even articulate it to them. Like I had no way to tell them. Like, I think at the time it just felt like a bad dream. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, like when I would get it, because it's weird. Because like when you have sleep paralysis and the demon is with you, in my experience, I've tried screaming, like everything in me, I'm trying to just scream and I can't do anything. I'm just paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And eventually I finally am able to mutter out like a little, and then I come out of it.
Yeah, me too. That's weird.
Do what?
I do the same thing. I'll like whimper like that.
And then
my fiance wakes me up like, you're fucking whimpering or whatever. It's really humiliating, actually.
It's crazy how common it is. Yeah. I would say maybe one of four guests on the show, that's what they start out by saying, that they've had sleep paralysis experiences. Yeah, that
sounds fair.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because I've never had anything during my waking hours that I would describe as paranormal. Mm-hmm. But the sleep paralysis is the only thing in my life, and it's happened a lot of times, but it's the only thing that I've ever had where I go, all right, well, maybe there's something out there, because it feels so real when it's happening. It's like, yeah, the Satan is real, hell is real, and it's come to visit me.
Is it so during like when you're not in the experience, like during the waking hours, is there part of you that thinks it's possible that it is something paranormal?
I don't know, because I'm a worldly guy. I went to college. The rational part of me wants to think that it's just something going on in the brain, like electrochemical, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but it feels so real that even now as I'm talking about it, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it is real. Maybe that's when the veil is at its thinnest, is when you're between awake and asleep, and that's when they come and get you.
My sister actually, just within the past few weeks, like she gets it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I feel like if I've made it this long and I'm 38 and haven't had it, that it won't come now.
Have you had it since? You know what it is? It's when you have your appendix taken out, that's when it starts.
God damn it. That's what kept me safe from it, was my appendix.
That's what it does, yeah. As we figured it out, right here in the thing is.
I twitch a lot.
What's that, you twitch?
I twitch a lot in my sleep.
Yeah, what do you play?
I...
see, I can do it too.
Yeah, there you go. No, but like my girlfriend is like such a light sleeper. Mm-hmm. So like I'll wake up and she's gone. And I'm like, did she leave? And she's like out here in the couch or something. Or like she's always like leaving and going into the other room. So she was saying that I also do the whimpery thing.
Yeah.
So I related with that hard when you talked about when you go, like.
I was starting to think like maybe it is just like a brain thing, like it's just a random fucking feeling you get when you're falling asleep, but you never hear any like success stories about sleep paralysis. Right. Everyone hates it. It's always negative.
It's never an angel.
It's never like, oh, everything's wonderful when you die. It's always like, I'm coming to get you and I'm coming dressed as your mom.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is everyone I've talked to that's also had it. And that there's that documentary about, I forget the name of the documentary.
But I always forget the name also. Yeah.
But all the stories about it are very similar, that it's mm-hmm. this malevolent force either in the corner of the room or sitting on your chest.
Yeah.
So all the stories are very similar. They're all kind of the same. So who knows what's going on? You know, I, much like Mulder, I want to believe. but I don't know.
Michael Biglia's movie, Sleepwalk With Me?
I've seen it, yeah.
Does that relate to you in any way? Like, do you feel like, do you relate to that, seeing that? Like, any of the experiences that he's had?
No, not sleepwalking, no.
It's like the opposite, parasomnia.
Have, like, mittens and a sleeping bag?
No, I've never had that.
I feel like sleep paralysis is like sleepwalking for the lazy.
It's like the opposite. Like, whatever things get twisted in your brain, it's like they get twisted the opposite way. Yeah. But like what you were saying, Dalton, with the how people have similar experiences, it's kind of like the DMT thing, where people who go on DMT often see the same beings, you know? And it's like, you can view this two different ways. It's either like when the brain short circuits in this weird way, it creates this image, or there really is an entity and that is what people are seeing. And it's just like, which one is it?
I feel like it's more likely to be the latter, no?
So, I don't know. I mean, we were talking about mushrooms earlier, and I'll say, similar to sleep paralysis, anytime I've done mushrooms or acid, as I'm tripping, I'm convinced, like, oh, God is real. Like, you know, like, all the spirits are out there. So I don't know if it's like a neurochemical thing or tapping into the spirit world, but yeah, sleep paralysis and drugs are the two things that have made me feel like spirits are real.
Well, I'll get into my first time I did ayahuasca. I had an experience with it. My vision was that I was meeting all these like faceless beings. Like, so it was just a faceless orb of a person, and it was like, somehow I knew in my head, these are all people who have inhabited my spirit. So these are all my former lives that I'm meeting in this meet and greet sort of way. Kind of like when after a football game's over, everyone just kind of walks by and they all shake hands or whatever, that kind of thing. And then like the final being that I was supposed to meet was the creator of it all. And I could only say three words to the creator.
I am gay.
I said, thank you. So they took advantage of it. I said three things. I said one thing that was two words three times. So I broke the rules.
Six, I'm a rebel. Words.
Too many words. But I just said, thank you. And then in real life, there was thunder, real big thunder outside, and the skies opened up. And it was pouring rain, like in real life. And the elder stood up and he said, grandmother wants us all to go outside. So I was like, I can't move. I can't get up. I can't move. I don't want to. But they were like, we're all waiting for you. Get up. Let's go. So I went outside and I could barely stand up. I kept trying to stand up and I couldn't. And the elder walked up to me and he placed his hand on me. I forgot to mention this. The creator that I met placed his hand on me the way that kind of like the guys in Lord of the Rings do, like where they like hold shoulders. You know what I'm talking about?
I have never seen it.
Okay. Well, any one of you would know.
I get it.
So the elder walked up to me and he held my shoulder like the same exact way. And he said, thank you for bringing your ancestors. And as soon as he said that, I turned around and I vomited black stuff all out of me. I like purged all my black, and then I could like stand up and be fine. Like, and I was fine after that. And I just stayed outside with the rain and the prayer. But
I feel like that like fits in where it's the same thing where either this guy is so used to that this is what people usually experience that he, you know, says that maybe to everybody, or he was tuned in with you. You know, it's one of those things we just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why the arm thing. Because
maybe while you were there, maybe he did that. Maybe he was like talking to you and did that with you. I don't know. All right. On that note, we did go over quite a bit today, but it was a very fun episode. We're going to do a quick round of plugs and we'll wrap up. Start with you, Maddie. It's your deep in thought.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about how fucking I don't know anything that's going on with existence, and it's terrifying.
No one does. Nobody knows.
I know. I don't like it. I prefer it the other way. You can follow me on Parler now. I'm done with the other fucking. I'm done with it. I'm done with it, Chad. I can't take it anymore. It's too much negativity.
That's it.
You're on Parler?
I'm on Parler. I gave up.
Holy shit. You know what? Nice, dude.
I'm going to join James Woods, and we're going to fucking hang out together and get silly on Parler.
You, James Woods, Dan Crenshaw, the damn boys, man.
That's nice. Right. That's where all the cool kids are going.
What that even is? What is that?
I don't know.
It's the right wing. It's the right wing Twitter.
Apparently. It's like the not so much Nazi Twitter version of Twitter.
Oh, just make sure you post clips there.
It's a bad one to be on after that.
Is that where you guys both learned the karma with 3 K's joke that you both did?
Yeah.
No.
You see, Sylvia said Parler just got banned by Google and Apple.
Throw it on there. Of course they did. Why wouldn't they? Dude. Oh.
All right.
What's the legality about calling for violence?
No, you can't.
We're over time, Maddie.
Don't do that here. Yeah, we are short of time. Thank you, Dalton, for being on my side. Corey, what would you like to plug?
Check out my podcast, Evolving with Corey Castle, evolving.com/CoreyCastle, as it's spelled here on the screen, CoreyCastle. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. And anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can also check out my other podcast, Wrestle Rock, where we just talk about wrestling, and we have a fun laugh about it. Me and a couple of my friends have had some really cool guests on, and, you know, pandemic.
You ever talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin, greatest fucking American athlete of all time?
Yeah, national treasure, American icon.
Awesome. Dalton, what would you like to plug?
Listen to my podcast I do with my pals Robbie Goodwin and Joe Gorman. It's called The Loud Boys. You can follow us on all social media at Loud Boys Pod. You can subscribe wherever you get podcasts. So subscribe, rate, review, search me on. I'm on Twitter at newdalton69420. And I'm on Instagram at saltydalty69420. But more than anything, just follow the podcast at Loud Boys Pod.
Awesome. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Wherever you listen to the show, you can also watch it live for free every single Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at GasDigitalNetwork.com/live. The best way to support the show is to go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use promo code TTI. You get a 2-week free trial, which gives you access to every single show on Gas Digital, every single one of our episodes. I think this is like 215 or something. So there is like 8 years worth of material there that you can check out. And it's risk-free. So if you hate it after 2 weeks, you can get rid of it. Also live chats during shows, so much stuff. Yes.
One more thing. My podcast also drops every Monday at noon. And this Monday at noon, my podcast that I recorded with Shannon Lee will be released on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Okay. So when this airs, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say, Shannon, you and I have briefly crossed paths at the Gas Digital Studios. We've never actually talked. So I do want to say thank you for having me on. It's nice to actually talk to you and these other fellas.
Yes. No, you've been great. And yes, it's good to finally talk to you. Let me just finish my plug. I'm not used to getting interrupted in the middle. I'm used to just saying them straight through. And now I'm.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you weren't done.
It's not your fault. Okay. So
go ahead, Shannon,
Gas Digital. TTI is the promo code. Wherever you listen, make sure to rate and review and tell a friend. Tell two friends. By rating and reviewing, that's the best way to keep the show going because it brings it up in the algorithms, all that crap. And tell a friend. If you're with a friend, take their phone, go on to podcast app, and hit subscribe on whoever's phone you're around, and I will appreciate that. If you have stories to submit, a bad date story, a fight story, or a ghost story, send it to thethingispodcast@gmail.com. Williams dropped the bell. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye, guys.